وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you from strength to strength, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for all your sacrifices. Ameen. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, past the 1 1/4 para which was read last night, tonight we continue with the second Taraweeh, and there's mention of qisas, retaliation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kutiba alaykumul qisasu fil qatla." So the basis of Islam is justice, and for this reason, qisas, retaliation, has been ordained on the Muslims. That is, in lieu of the murdered one, the murderer can be killed no matter how much difference there is between the two with regards to social standing, status, wealth, and physical appearance. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاتِ. In qisas there is life for both the one who intends to commit murder and the potential victim of murder. When a person who intends to commit a murder has conviction that he will be punished for his crime, then in spite of his severe anger, he will restrain himself from killing. So due to this, then these two, in fact, both families will be saved from killing and fighting. So in handing out punishment for murder, Islam has combined both mercy and justice. If the inheritors and guardians of the murdered one demand qisas, then this will be just. It's like if they forgive or are happy to accept diyat, which is blood money, then it will be kindness and mercy from their side. Now, we have the second aspect here. It's about fasting being made compulsory in the holy month of Ramadan, regarding which the first verses come, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. If a first person fasts, keeping in mind all his etiquettes, then together with developing taqwa, it also stirs up feeling for humanity. The month in which fasting has been declared compulsory, that is Ramadan, also holds a speciality and virtue that such a great and honorable book as the Quran has also been revealed in this particular month. So it was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala onto the Lawh-e Mahfuz. And from there, it was revealed as and when the need arose over a period of 23 years. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَىٰ نِسَائِكُمْ. Although you fast during the day and sexual relations, eating and drinking, you are prohibited from all that, it is permissible to engage in sexual relations with one's wife. But this is not permissible while one is in i'tikaf. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, earning wealth in any impermissible, permissible and wrongful manner is not allowed, whether it be by means of gambling, stealing, usurping the wealth and property of others, bribery, or buying and selling through impermissible methods. So wala ta'kulu amwalakum bainakum bil batil. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the lunar calendar. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِ. The lunar calendar is one of the shi'ar, the distinguishing factors of Islam, and its usage is fardhi kifaya. If some use it, the responsibility will fall off the others. If completely left out, all will be sinful. Many forms of worship are based on having knowledge of it. So we must try and get our families and our children also to follow the lunar calendar and the dates, you know, throughout the year. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about jihad and fighting in the path of Allah, which are compulsory upon the Muslims. وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. The purpose of jihad is إِعْلَى كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ, raising the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So since the conflict between truth and falsehood, and it's like good and evil, has always existed, and it will always exist, so jihad was always there and will always remain. So it is necessary for the Muslims to be ready for jihad at all times. Muslims should not make apparent their weakness in front of the enemy, because the punishment for weakness is nothing but a sudden death. Then also, amongst one of the fundamentals of Islam is وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires this from the ummah as well, when they have the means of going for hajj, donning the ihram, going to go and perform umrah, donning the ihram and going to go and perform hajj, staying in Mina, going to Arafat, spending time in Muzdalifah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Arafat, فَإِذَا عَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ واذكروه كما هداكم وإن كنتم من قبله لمن الضالين ثم أفيضوا من حيث أفاض الناس واستغفروا الله. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about leaving Arafat, etc. So that's quite interesting in this particular chapter of the Noble Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about spending in his path. You know, that spending is very, very important. But we mustn't belittle anybody after spending or giving somebody, and then, you know, count our favors upon that particular person, so he becomes belittled. Then also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about turning away from the beautiful deen of Islam. وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. The actions of that person who becomes a murtad, Allah ta'ala save us all, turns away from Islam, he becomes a murtad. His actions all become null and void. He is worthy of Jahannam, hell, and in this world, the punishment is that if he does not return to Islam after being explained to, then he will be killed. Now, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about gambling and regarding الليكر يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر قل فيهما إثم كبير ومنافع للناس. Even though there are outward and material benefits in consuming alcohol and gambling, but the physical, intellectual and the monetary, the moral and social harms far outweigh the benefit. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has proclaimed alcohol as ummul khaba'ith, the mother and the root of all evil and sin. After mentioning some social sicknesses, certain family problems have been mentioned, since the family structure is the foundation for a good society. So this starts with the relationship of marriage. In this regard, the first command given is that marriage to mushrik males and females is no way permissible. And then also, during the journey of marriage, a pious and Allah-fearing partner will facilitate an easy journey through the many stages of one's journey towards the hereafter. And for this reason, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has likened the pious wife to a valuable treasure. Then also there's ayahs of the Noble Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about impermissibility of sexual intercourse with one's wife during her menses. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذًى. And, it can cause harm to the health of both the husband and wife. But however, touching, kissing, eating and drinking with each other is permissible. On the contrary, the Jews do not give permission for this, and the Christians do not even regard intercourse in this condition as reprehensible. So as in many other matters, Islam is also in this matter taken the path of moderation instead of exceeding the limits of being too lax. And then if a person takes an oath that he will not have relations with his wife for 4 months or more, then as soon as 4 months pass, a divorce will automatically take effect. And there's some detailed discussions on this particular aspect in the Noble Quran as well. So we touched on that as well. And then whatever the husband has given to the wife in the form of dowry cannot be taken back. However, there is permission for khula. Khula is when the woman is prepared to return all her dowry or part of it on condition that she is granted a divorce. So the consent of both spouses is necessary for khula. If a divorced woman, even if three divorces have taken place, gets married to another man, but for some reason the marriage does not last, then after getting a divorce from the second husband, she can marry the first husband again. Then that aspect is also mentioned, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about at-talaqu marratan, that the talaq is two. And then after that, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ, then you can keep her with goodness, you know, or you can leave her with kindness, you know. So you have, and then after that, if you still give her the third talaq, then you will not be able to bring her back into your nikah, hatta tankiha zawjan ghayra, until she gets married to somebody else, like we just explained. That person divorces her or passes away, she spends her iddah, then only she can come back into marriage. Otherwise, it would have been just an open leeway for the man to give talaq continuously and take her back and give talaq and take her back, and the life of the woman would have been extremely difficult. And then also there's stories in this noble in the Noble Quran in this particular para as well. And then we go on to Surah Baqarah, continuing with the Shari'i injunctions. The subject of Nabuwat and Risalat has also been mentioned. And then at the end of the second para, we've read that Allah Ta'ala gives testimony to the Risalat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Here in the third para, which continued tonight, to go up to 2.5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about the specialities which are mentioned, which were granted to some anbiya. Tilka ar-rusulu faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. Some had been given virtue over others. And then while mentioning the virtues and the different ranks of the anbiya, then this surah presents to us such a verse which is the most virtuous verse of the Noble Quran, and that is Ayatul Kursi. It is a very, very prominent and beautiful verse regarding the greatness and the might and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam is also mentioned when he debated with the rebellious and proud king Namrud ibn Kanaan. And also in this incident, Allah ta'ala showed him a spectacle, you know, for Namrud, how the dead are brought back to life. Likewise, when Uzayr saw a ruined city and the thought passed his mind that I do not know how the people of the city will be resurrected, death then overtook them, and after 100 years, he was brought back to life. So these are some stories in the Noble Quran that was recited tonight. And then also there is mention made about the prohibition of interest, the laws of loans, business, mutual transactions, and mortgages have been mentioned. The verse in which these laws are mentioned is the longest verse in the Quran Kareem, which shows how much of importance is given to monetary matters in the Quran, and that Islam takes care of religious matters and dunyawi worldly matters, worship and business, the body and the soul. And then some of the laws that I mentioned in this verse are pertaining to credit. A written document should be prepared. When credit is given, the due date should be stipulated, and there should be no ambiguity in it. And then during a journey, you can also prepare a document. Then a loan can be given by taking something as mortgage. In cash transactions, there is no need for a written document. So Surah Baqarah has mentioned many laws of Salah, Zakat, Hajj, fasting, charity, interest, iddat, and at the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden any person more than he can bear. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. And the surah also ends Surah Al-Baqarah with a comprehensive dua in which Muslims are taught that they should supplicate in this manner in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, O Allah, we have made if we have made any errors in fulfilling your commands, then forgive us. As long as the Muslims try to practice on the commands of Allah Ta'ala according to their ability, together with seeking forgiveness for their weaknesses and shortcomings, and they continue turning to Allah Ta'ala and making dua to Him, Allah Ta'ala, then inshallah they will continue to be saved from the evil and the result of people like the Jews. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.